Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What do you say, folks? Little early line here on a Friday on Sports Grid. I'm Kevin Wallstrom, joined, of course, by Donnie Wrightside. Many people have been hitting my phone. They say, well, K-Dubs, 2 days. Get used to it. That's all I can tell you. We'll make it back up on the weekend, though. As always, DRS, how you feeling?
Yeah, ready to go. Friday afternoon. Well, it will be a Friday afternoon at the Masters. But that afternoon, Kevin, going to come earlier. Why? Moving the tee times up a half hour, K-Dub, to make sure they get this rounded, because cold conditions and wet conditions are on the way. Masters week, baby, right here.
Absolutely important information. As you mentioned, we're going to recap Masters round one, but we often have weatherman Donnie handle his business in Major League Baseball. Important information today at Augusta. We will give you that. But the deal right now, three guys go 7 under in the opening round, and some big names: Brooks Koepka, Victor Hovland, and John Rahm, who is now the favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the Masters here in 2023.
Yeah, good stuff here. Also, how about this? Phil Mickelson shoots a 1 under, tied for 26. You always want a leaderboard with big-time names coming into Sunday. I hope we get there, Kevin. It would be sweet.
I mean, you're right. We have big names here, right? Scotty Scheffler not far back from that group either. Jason Day, 5 under. So a lot of really big-time names there. Of course, the biggest name, as always, is Tiger Woods. He tried to pull the day back down the end there, DRS, but Tiger was 2 over after one, which means we're now hearing about Tiger Woods maybe not being 100% at the end of the opening round for him.
I mean, like a pogo stick out there on one of his shots, I believe on 18, where he was half in the trap, half out of it there. When the middle of the fair, you know when Tiger Woods hits a bad shot, when he starts to blame it on the back. Now, look, there is a lot of slander for Tiger Woods, but it's fun to at least talk about Tiger Woods playing in the Masters. He needs a big day. But also, Kevin, he said after the round, he missed his opportunity. That was the day to go low in the Masters with the good weather conditions. Now it's not going to be so good. We'll see if he can hang in there.
We'll talk Masters in just a minute here, who we think is shining and who we think could potentially present some value in the NBA. For those that are with us on the TV side, you might be, you know, trying to skip ahead, read the headlines there, and you might see Zion update. Maybe scramble to your phone. What did I miss here? What's the latest on Zion? You didn't miss anything. The latest on Zion is there's nothing going on. The quote from David Griffin, the New Orleans Pelicans, is, after further evaluation, it has been determined that Zion Williamson will continue his rehabilitation and conditioning regimen, a.k.a. we have no idea what's going on. He may never play basketball again, it feels like, at this point, Donnie.
I mean, if I see on TV, like, Zion jumping around on some trampoline somewhere, dunking a basketball, I will lose my mind, as they say. Like, hey, it's good to shut him down until next year. You got to get into the playoffs. He needs to be back on the court. We want to see Zion. My goodness, who is actually his trainer at this point?
The whole thing is bizarre. And it also is a bit sad, though, because every time we see Zion, it's like, oh, this guy's fantastic. But we just don't get to see him consistently enough. Last night in the NBA, results-wise, though, we saw the Phoenix Suns continue to be unbeaten in games that Kevin Durant plays. He led the way with 29 points, though a four-point win over a DeAndre Jordan-led Denver Nuggets team might not qualify as their most impressive victory, as the Nuggets have clinched the number one overall seed and are starting to rest their best players.
Yeah, Phoenix favored by close to two touchdowns at game time yesterday, and they needed every effort out of their starters for the Phoenix Suns, and basically nobody played for the Denver Nuggets. We'll see what happens come playoffs, but one thing we do know, Kevin, if Kevin Durant is on the court, the Suns do win.
They certainly do. Our radio audience is here on a Friday morning, the early line, SiriusXM, Channel 159. On the other side of the MVP conversation, Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers caught it big time at home from the Miami Heat. This is the difference when one team needs the game and the other does not. We saw Jimmy Butler play well. We saw Tyler Hero drop 24 with five made threes here as the Heat win 129-101.
Yeah, some teams have two games left. Some have one game left here, and it's apparent that you're right. Some teams need the game. This is one of the few times that in the NBA you can say, you know what? I don't care who the better team is, who actually needs it, who's going to be motivated, and that sure was the case yesterday in Philadelphia as the Heat roll the 76ers.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yesterday, Major League Baseball, a lot of games canceled due to weather, but one game that we were able to enjoy was Braves-Padres. 7-6 final score. Atlanta walks it off. And a hot start for a team that was expected to be excellent here. 6-1 through their first seven games, the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, good series set up there down in Atlanta for sure. And oh, you hit the nail on the head. That game actually played yesterday. Now let's go back to the city of brotherly love. You want some slander? The Phillies, a day before, canceled opening day for weather conditions. Yeah, it was 82 degrees, sunny skies, not a drop of rain in the sky. Congratulations, Phillies. Now you have a game today with some questionable weather conditions. That works out well.
Yeah, Mets did the same exact thing. And then I know people, they take the day off. The whole thing's a total mess. The whole thing is a total, total mess. But again, that is baseball. If things are going positive, just know the other hand is coming around the corner at some point. NFL news, the Baltimore Ravens are considering quarterback in round one. Go ahead, Donnie. I could care less about this franchise.
I need to see this happen. I need to see them want Lamar, them trade draft capital. They move up into the top 10. They take Will Levis. Then they sign, you know, Lamar Jackson to a contract. And then the Ravens tell you this is exactly their game plan. Two quarterbacks deployed out there is better than one. I don't know what the Ravens are doing either, Kevin.
I just can't. Someday we'll get a Lamar resolution. One thing that's been resolved, will LSU, the Lady Tigers, who won the national championship, go to the White House? The answer to that is yes. Will Caitlin Clark sneak on the bus and come with? I guess we'll find out. We're talking Augusta next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's talk Augusta, the Masters. Way one round in the books. Round two will be teeing off, by the way, earlier than expected, in about, now I would say, less than 20 minutes time here, and that all has to do with weather. So before we talk about who impressed, updated odds, DRS, the weather is going to be the conversation today. Maybe it carries in to tomorrow. What are we seeing right now? Always there's worries about delays, which throws things off in a major way. What's the read right now, weather-wise, at Augusta?
Today, we should have some weather concerns, which is why they're moving up the tee times a half hour, Kevin. But also, you have to read the between the lines here. It's only a half hour moved up. So maybe later in the day, the conditions do worsen a bit. But I don't think the major, you know, issue is on Friday. It's Saturday, where it looks like when we talk about like rain in the forecast, hey, we might get some showers in the afternoon. They're actually talking about Saturday down at Augusta, a complete washout. Not to say they can't play, but rain all throughout the day, not just some spotty scattered thunderstorms there. Now, you can look at this two ways, Kevin, because when you take a look at Augusta National, it's so much about ball placement and placement on the green when you get there and how fast and tricky some of these greens are. Because as you see the commentators say, hey, look, you got to keep the ball above the hole. You can't go behind the hole here. You can't stay to the right of the green. There's meaning for that because that means you're in trouble. But if you do get wet conditions out at Augusta, that takes a lot of the teeth out of the tournament. Now, you won't get the roll, Kevin, off the tee, but you can now go at pins. You could be a little bit more dangerous there with some of those approach shots where maybe you have to be more cautious in the past. So it is a two-way street. We have to remember that.
Yeah, and I think it's reflected right now. Tournament winning score, 14 or worse is the favorite. That's minus 162. To go 15 under or better is at a plus 132 price. If one of the three guys that are currently 7 under were to win this tournament, meaning they'd have to go 8 under the rest of the way, it's interesting, right? To already be 7 under, nearly half of the way there, it depends how this weather plays. I think back to the Dustin Johnson performance in that November at Augusta where the weather was able to positively impact what he was able to do and went 20 under. If the weather here ends up being favorably, all of a sudden that could look different. I think the thing, of course, that we know is the way those top guys, plus a couple of others here that are in the mix, your Schefflers, maybe your Xander Schauffeles, how they play here will really determine where this number goes. So then let's look at the updated leaderboard and how that, of course, then relates to the outright board. John Rahm is the favorite at plus 310. Scottie Scheffler is plus 550. Brooks Koepka 7-1. Those are the only three golfers right now that sit underneath the 10-1 marker. But it's not there. It's not some massive gap right now. Hovland 11-1, Jason Day 13-1, Cam Young 17-1. Those are your six golfers that are underneath that 20-1 price. When you see that top six there, what catches your attention?
Yeah, really good golfers up, you know, pedigree, Kevin. Like, you're not just seeing random guys up top of the list here. You're looking at guys that have won major championships and we expect to be there on Sunday. But let's play devil's advocate here, Kevin, as we go forward. You know, the American golfer, right, loves to play at the Masters, the U.S. Open, struggles sometimes in the British Open because why? Different weather conditions at that time of the year, different ways to play a golf course. Now, granted, the Masters are played in Augusta, Georgia every single year, so these guys know this golf course. But do you tend to believe and say, okay, if we get colder conditions, because Kevin, we might be dropping from mid-80s to low 50s by the time we get to Saturday here, and also rainy conditions. That fits the landscape here of the European golfer that's used to playing in colder conditions, windy conditions, and sometimes the elements are against you as opposed to for you at 85 degrees. That might be something to keep an eye on as we get to the weekend. And the good part about it, the FanDuel Sportsbook, is you can bet mid-tournament here. It's not like, okay, well, I'm going to guess on the weekend on Saturday. You can get involved right away. And I kept talking yesterday with Joe Ranieri where you might get those weather results where you have a ticket of a player 20-1, 30-1, 40-1. Weather conditions are bad. Everybody backs up. That ticket might have a lot of value by the end of the weekend.
It is incredible just the plus prices you can get on the golf course there, right? And just to try and make a cross-sport example, the Orlando Magic tonight are catching 12 points from the Brooklyn Nets and are a plus 520 on the money line. Scottie Scheffler is plus 550 to win this tournament. You know how much better Scottie Scheffler is at what he does and what the Orlando Magic are and what they do. To mention Scottie Scheffler, though, again, you see where he sits right now in this outright board. He's three back off of the lead. He is trying to become the first golfer to go back-to-back since Tiger, 0-1-0-2. Those are the kind of things that I think you often hear a lot of people when they break down, especially something like the Masters. Is Scottie Scheffler good enough to join an elite class, become the fourth ever golfer to go back-to-back? I'll tell you something, DRS, so that you'll also hear about the guy that sits in front of it in the outright board, which is John Rahm. And I feel like the notion around a guy like John Rahm is he's too good to not win at Augusta at least once. I think there is some validity to that. I'm sure some people will say, well, what about Rory? How has Rory never won here? That's just, it's kind of the story, right, for Rory McIlroy. That's not going to be the story, though, for every golfer. John Rahm, to me, rightfully the favorite at plus 310. We know that when he gets locked in, it can be very, very tough to catch him. Not only is he a plus 310 favorite right now, he's plus 600 to go wire to wire and take this lead all the way until the end of the tournament.
You always want good starts, too, at the Masters or, heck, any tournament or any major for that fact. John Rahm double bogeyed the first hole and still finished in a tie for the lead at the end of round one at the Masters, going 7-under. That's impressive because you want to talk a guy with the fortitude to win a major championship. That's the type of guy. How many people would buck after, oh, man, I just double bogeyed the first hole here. There's no way I'm going to get this round back. I hope to be even par. And he goes ballistic over the next, 16, 17 holes at that point. That's something you look forward to. But also, how is he going to handle the changing of the weather conditions? And also, Kevin, another thing, another layer that you want to look at. If the weather conditions are going to be poor late in the day, maybe you have the advantage of the early tee time guys. There's so much things to look forward to in golf and so many different metrics you could take a look at. But one of the simplest was is who's going to catch the good weather and use that to your advantage.
Then let's just make sure that we get ourselves over to Tiger Woods. Look, at the end of the day, until Tiger retires, he is always going to be the star of the show. And you can, here's the thing, right? Sometimes people think that media force narratives. The FanDuel Sportsbooks tabs go Masters, Tiger specials, tourney specials. It's the Tiger show. It's always the Tiger show. But Tiger show might come to a close today, Donnie. He's minus 164 to miss the cut.
Now, here's what I'm betting on here. If you go to the FanDuel Sportsbook here and click on that Tiger special tab, I'm betting Tiger Woods to have a tournament albatross at 210 to 1. I don't even know what that means, but I'm involved, K-Dub. How about that? Like, what is it, by the way? What is an albatross?
Hold on.
Is that like the golden sombrero?
Hold on. Played golf to the degree there's no way you don't know what an albatross is, man.
I swear to God, I played golf for 15 years of my life and have never heard of an albatross.
And here's the best
part. Let me take a guess. Birdie, eagle, albatross?
Yes.
I didn't cheat on that, by the way. I would have outed myself.
Because here is the thing about that, though, by the way. Is that most people in my shoes would then tell the joke of, well, yeah, you don't know what it is because you were never that good. But that's not even true, right?
Yeah, I never had an albatross then. Yeah, so, yeah.
I'm not even, you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if you did. And somehow you had no idea. I can't believe you just blew up the entire breakdown.
Like Jimmy's and Sprinkles? Like Jimmy's and Sprinkles? Is albatross maybe something different here in South Jersey? What are we talking about?
You know what? Certainly
not in Central Jersey. I mean, there's no golf courses in Central
Jersey. Central Jersey, they understand what's going on. No, there's plenty, and they all know what an albatross is there, apparently. First time I ever heard, quickest money line story you've ever heard, by the way, which is a relevant part to the Masters breakdown. We're talking about ice cream. You know me. We keep the conversation with food going. Don's like, man, I love vanilla ice cream, chocolate Jimmy's. I said, huh?
No, rainbow.
I mean, we didn't see that. That doesn't even make sense. I mean, how do you even say that with a straight face? I mean, that guy thinks you're ripping him. You just know what you hit me. You shoot one Rainbow Jimmy's, brother.
Sprinkles.
That's outrageous behavior.
Don't disrespect.
Sprinkles. NBA's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA season is quick approaching its end of the regular season, I should say. We've got just today, tomorrow, and then Sunday is your finale. That means the next time we are here, we'll have multiple playoff matchups set, and the play-in tournament will be locked in. Some teams will be eliminated. Some teams will, of course, firmly be in the mix. One team that is hoping to avoid the play-in altogether would be the Miami Heat. They're going to need some help, but they needed to help themselves last night, and they did just that by beating up on the Philadelphia 76ers in Philly. The Heat get the win as a two-point underdog. I think, DRS, the one thing that I want to start with right away, as we close out this regular season. We'll break down some games in this hour, break down some games next hour as well, is motivation's a real thing. The Heat are not, under normal circumstances, going to only be a two-point dog in Philly, right? Do what you do it all the time. Read the line. What does it tell you?
Yeah.
And that line told you people were betting the Heat, betting the Heat, betting the Heat, despite the fact that you had Embiid and Harden and Tobias Harris all available in that starting lineup for the 76ers. Motivation was the key. It was reflected in your pregame spread, and it was reflected in the final result here for the Miami Heat.
And again, this reminds me a lot of week 18 in the NFL, one of the few times of the year with a game or two to go, they're actually telling you well in advance of who's going to play and if we care or not in that basketball game. But you're right. This one had a little bit of a conflict here because you did have starters showing up for the Philadelphia 76ers. And maybe you thought it would just mean, hey, let's just get Embiid like close to 30 points here just to keep tabs on that MVP race. But it was clear throughout that game, one team really wanted it and one was just coasting through by that second quarter. 26 points out of the Heat, only 15. Out of the Philadelphia 76ers. That game was over by the half, and they dropped by close to 30 points. But again, the Sixers really weren't interested in that game when the Miami Heat needed it. Played out exactly the way you would thought if you're just reading from a book.
Right, and then you try and then take the result for what it is, factoring in what we just said, because on the the Heat just went to Philly and won by 28. How dangerous is this team? 18 made threes. Five of them for Tyler Hero, four of them for Max Strus. They're finally getting some better basketball out of Kyle Lowry, who was a team best plus 27 in 22 minutes off of the bench. The Miami Heat are, so when you look at the Western Conference, the reason that the West play-in race feels so significant is there is going to be a team that I think everybody agrees is a true contender in the play-in, whether that's the Lakers, the Clippers, or the Golden State Warriors. One of those teams is going to be in the play-in. In the East, nobody feels that way unless you buy into the Miami Heat. And the Heat have pedigree, right? A couple of years ago, they were in the NBA Finals. Last year, they were in the Eastern Conference Finals as the number one overall seed. And that came down to the final shot in their own building, Jimmy Butler just missing a three. It begs the question then, what kind of a threat really will the Miami Heat be when we get to the postseason? 49-1 to win the Eastern Conference overall. I don't think they're actually going to catch the Brooklyn Nets here. There's a world that they, of course, could lose to the Atlanta Hawks, and could they fall all the way out of the play-in? It's plausible. The most likely scenario, though, is the Miami Heat have to play the Boston Celtics in the opening round, Donnie. And I tell you, if I'm the Boston Celtics, that's really unfortunate. In fact, that's quite a bit of a nightmare. It doesn't even matter if whether you believe Miami can beat Boston in a seven-game set. It's the fact that you look at Miami and go, yeah, nobody's sweeping that team. Nobody's beating that team in five games. And that's going to be a war. That's going to be a battle. The postseason in the NBA is so long, it can be a war of attrition. And when the Celtics line up with what will look like, at least on paper, the most difficult round one matchup of any of the top four teams in the East, right? If you think the Knicks might miss Julius Randle, that's quite a difficult consolation prize for having the second overall record in the NBA.
It is, but also sometimes we have to remind ourselves, and we're going to take a look at the Western Conference and give some thoughts there on the Golden State Warriors. We know the pedigree of the players is there on the Miami Heat. Not to say they're going to win a championship or even the Eastern Conference, but when they line up, you're not just going to roll the basketball out and smoke the Miami Heat. They're a good basketball team. They also, Kevin, have a pedigree head coach who's been there, done that, and won championships, and a great organization behind him. But I always, hasten myself to say, all right, if we're taking a look at the Heat and what their chances are of actually advancing maybe a round or two in the playoffs, it's going to be tough because they're going to have to do it on the road. And also, Kevin, can you just flip the switch? Because we're not talking about a team that's 55-25. You're talking about a team that's 43-37. And at the beginning of the year, if you would have told me the Miami Heat with a game or two left in the season would be sitting 15 games back in the Eastern Conference, I'd have told you you were a liar. No way. The Miami Heat are much better than that.
Right.
They just haven't performed that well. Now, there also is the chance that they're a dangerous team coming in. We hear that a lot. Nobody wants to play this basketball team. I'm just saying from a Heat perspective, they would be a tough out because it's not a 4-0 sweep whoever gets them there. You're right. They are going to fight you. I'm just worried about, do we take the whole season in its entirety or just say, well, they're actually a little bit more healthy now and playing decent basketball. I'll take a flyer on the Miami Heat.
You know, I think the thing with the Heat, though, is they have earned such a positive reputation. And so you're right. The fact that they're 43-37, they're 12 games back of Boston, right? Where Boston sits. 9 games back of the 76ers, 15 back of the Milwaukee Bucks. But we've seen Miami play Boston very, very hard before. And this year, they're 2-2 against the Celtics. That's better than the Sixers are. The Cavaliers do not have postseason pedigree over the Miami Heat. And they're 2-2 against that team in the regular season. Hell, the Miami Heat are responsible for people thinking that Giannis couldn't be successful in the postseason for the early beginnings of his career. And the way that they, you know, it feels like Bam Adebayo is at least the best chance you have at slowing down Giannis Antetokounmpo. That is where the Heat are so different, I think, than, again, anybody else that you go 5 down is they don't, it's not just a level of pedigree, it's proven pedigree against the teams they're supposed to play. I think you know, as a Sixers fan, Donnie, right? Let's be honest here. You'd much rather be playing the 6-seeded Brooklyn Nets than the 7-seeded Miami Heat in that opening round. You don't want Jimmy Butler in your building in a game 7. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants Jimmy Butler in their building in a game number 7. The truth is, when you try and figure out who's going to go on deep runs in the postseason, you always try and figure out how much do you trust your best player, right? And when you line up a series, who has a chance to be the best player in this series? And you look at Giannis, you look at Tatum, and you look at Embiid, and you go, man, I mean, it's going to be hard for anybody to match them. Jimmy Butler can match all 3 of those players in the postseason. In the regular season, he is not on their level, Donnie. That's just kind of the way it goes. When you get to the playoffs, Jimmy Butler can, in a 7-game series, be as good as Embiid, as good as Tatum, and probably just as good as Giannis.
We've seen it in the past before, right? They took Game 7 to the Toronto Raptors with Jimmy Butler making a monster steal and a layup late in that game before the Kawhi triple bounce goes in. We might never hear to Kawhi or even a championship for Toronto if that game had actually gone to overtime. What would have happened here? And I think your point is very valid here, because what you love about Jimmy Butler, he's a dog out there on the basketball court. Tell Jimmy Butler this, hell, man. I know you won the first, but you're going to go up against Boston now. It's a wrap. Jimmy Butler said, what do you mean it's a wrap? Yeah, it's a wrap. We're going to win the series. Same thing against Milwaukee. Oh, you're a big, we're the underdog. Why would we be the underdog against Milwaukee? I actually think we can win this series outright. That's Jimmy Butler and why it's so special to have him on your side. When you talk about those Philadelphia 76ers days, ask Joel Embiid right now, one of his favorite, if not his favorite teammate of all time was Jimmy Butler. He was devastated when Jimmy Butler left because Brett Brown and the Sixers wanted Ben Simmons to stay at that point. And he was right and validated throughout that. But I think you're on to something here where if there's one guy in the Eastern Conference that you tell him he can't win a game or a series, he wants to prove you wrong, that's Jimmy Butler.
It certainly is. We got a lot of good games in the Eastern Conference tonight to preview. Tricky games, probably. Who's in, who's out. What we do also have, though, in the Eastern Conference is a set playoff matchup, which is the Cavs and the Knicks. Series prices are available on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Cleveland's -198, putting the Knicks in at a +166 price. The only other option is how many games you think this series will go. The favorite option is actually 7 games at +195. 6 games is +200. The biggest question mark, of course, for this series, which, by the way, is more than 1 week away. The NBA, and I know this upsets people, it's all in the eye of the beholder. The NBA playoffs is a long time. It's a whole nother season. Essentially, we are a week away from the playoffs beginning, and why that is, of course, so important is we don't know if Julius Randle is going to be able to play game 1 of this series, game 4 of this series. We just don't have that timeline yet.
And it's a great point you bring up, too, because how many times we pointed out, like, the Lakers, a veteran team, getting into the playoffs, and why is that important? Because you play every once to 3 to 4 days there, so you can extend that out. And you're right, the 11th starts the playing round. The 15th actually starts round 1 in the playoffs. So if you are injured, guys that we talked about, Zion, maybe there's a chance he comes back. Randall, you do bring up a good point, because it's not as though Randall is coming back. But what are we getting out of him, Kevin? It's not Randall saying, hey, you know what? I've been working on my cardio. Everything's fine. I just wanted to set out 1 game and I'm back in it. You're talking about maybe 3 weeks there of not being on the court in competitive action. That's tough to overcome. You might get Julius Randle out on the court, but if you get an inefficient Julius Randle, that's going to hurt the New York Knicks.
It certainly is. And Randall, it's really interesting. He had missed, and shout out to him, because this doesn't happen in today's game, right? He had not missed a single game all year long going into the game that he got injured in. Meaning, Randall doesn't really have a, yeah, I was out for a week, I came back, I ramped it up, right? There's no ramp-up period for Julius Randle. His first game back is going to be playoff basketball, which will be interesting. Let's break down some games tonight. The Bucks are in action, the Celtics are in action, and the Sixers are in action. Which Sixers? We'll talk about that all next, coming up right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on the Early Line. What a preview tonight's NBA game. However, there is a caveat to, I think, what we are about to break into here, Donnie. And you and Joe, I know, experienced this in full yesterday. Can you give people an idea of the Cavs Magic game from yesterday, what you and Joe Ranieri here on the Early Line kind of saw, and then where things ended up in that basketball game?
It was amazing because the Cleveland Cavaliers, I believe at the opening line, were a few point favorite over the Orlando Magic. Now, throughout the morning and the early afternoon, that actually swung from not only getting points to a minus 10 number on the Orlando Magic. Now, the reason for that big swing was it was announced earlier that nobody is playing for the Cavaliers. Now, granted, obviously, you know, the bench guys are going to have to play because all of the starters were out. Later in the afternoon, Orlando goes, yeah, we'll do you one better. We'll bench all our starters as well, including Paolo Banchero. So who is actually playing? That number goes from 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, and I believe down to around 3 at game time. And my goodness, the Cavaliers absolutely detonated them last night. So that was one of the more wild swings, Kevin, you were ever going to see both ways on the pendulum.
Which, and why I want to bring that up, is look, we're going to do what we're going to do. It's 7:40 a.m. Eastern time, right? So this Hawks-Sixers game is a full 12 hours away from tipping off. Right now, the Hawks are a 9.5-point favorite. The expectation out of the Sixers' five usual starters, right? None of them play. Maxey missed yesterday. Harden playing a back-to-back, doubt it. I don't know what purpose Embiid would have being out there. Because here's the sneaky thing about Embiid, Donnie, the game that we didn't, you know, really recap from last night. We'll maybe mention a little bit in hour number two. Jokic has essentially stopped playing basketball. In a way, it has worked in the Denver Nuggets' favor that they felt maybe Jokic couldn't win MVP or whatever it might be. They've locked up the one seed and they've sat Jokic. Embiid doesn't need to play. Like, I think we would be having a really interesting conversation if the odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook were Joel Embiid minus 150 and then a plus 130 number on Nikola Jokic, does JoJo play? Does JoJo go out there by himself? Embiid is minus 1,000. He goes out here on a back-to-back for what, Donnie? It would be a complete waste, no?
No, it would be. And also, you're trying to set your sights now on the playoffs for the Philadelphia 76ers. And you're right about that. Mm-hmm. If it was neck and neck and Jokic was playing and putting up triple-doubles every night and Giannis was like, I don't care if we already clinched. I'm just going out here, guys. Feed me the basketball. Yeah. Ooh, I just dropped 57 points in a game last night with 22 rebounds. That's not happening. Everybody is in rest mode. And if you're Joel Embiid in the Philadelphia 76ers, you should be as well. Because, listen, voters are human beings. I get it. If Jokic isn't playing, Giannis has already clinched, he's really not going to play down the stretch. Are we really led to believe that, oh, well, I still need to see something out of you, Embiid. You better go for 40 and 40 in meaningless basketball games? That's not what an MVP is. An MVP is, where does your team wind up? Were you the catalyst for the season for your team? Not in meaningless games at the end of the year to drop 37 points and 27 rebounds and a voter going like, you know what? That was the performance. Like, the Sixers didn't really care about beating the Atlanta Hawks, but I really needed to see Embiid go off, even though they lost by 30. Stop it.
With that actually said, by the way, the Sixers are locked into the 3 seed. Can't catch the Celtics. Cavs can't catch them. Because we're not going to be able to talk about this again. The Sixers have this game, and then they're at Brooklyn, Donnie, who is almost assuredly, not locked up yet, but almost assuredly going to be their round one opponent. Do you think we get Embiid on the final day of the regular season, one last MVP push or, look, we're the three seed. I think I've done enough here, and I'm going to bow out and see you later. Thanks for the hopeful MVP award.
I think that's the better way to do it. Not bring him out. Sit him there. If he doesn't win the MVP, it's not because he missed the final game of the season against the Brooklyn Nets. And why even give any of the voters any fodder? What happens if he does come out against the Nets and goes for 17-6 in a loss? Like, maybe I'm going to change my vote. Rest on your high laurels here. You had an unbelievable season. Nobody else is pressing you for the MVP. So if you don't win it, it's not because, again, you didn't play in the final two games when your team was playing meaningless basketball.
It would be real, and I think to your point, what would Embiid possibly do in that last game against Brooklyn where somebody on the fence goes, you know what, it's JoJo.
Yes.
I was unsure, but Embiid went out there.
Kendrick Perkins would do that. Yeah.
Well, you know, but here's it. You know, I might actually change my opinion now, Don. If for some reason he goes out there, gives 45 to Nets backups, and that, like, he might end up winning unanimous MVP because that's kind of the way that this stuff ebbs and flows. To then get over to the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics are not only are the Celtics locked into the 2 seed, the Celtics are locked into the 2nd seed overall in the NBA. Like, they can't even look across West and be like, ooh, could somebody catch us where if we're going to beat Denver in the postseason or something like that? The Celtics are locked. So Boston's a 2.5-point favorite to Toronto. Toronto is hoping that they could catch the Atlanta Hawks, get up to 8. The value of being 8 over 9 is the single biggest advantage when you talk about play-in round. When you're the 9, you have to win 2 games. When you're the 8, you have to win 1, and you're guaranteed at least a home game if you have to play that 2nd basketball game there. So motivation-wise, that brings this line down. But just like last night, Donnie, right, where the Heat were 2.5-point underdogs, that was against a full-go Boston team. This line here tells me motivation Raptors, but the Celtics' availability is not going to be 0. I think you might see Tatum and Jaylen Brown to a degree.
Let's see, because we did have Jaylen Brown play in the last game, and also one of those scheduling quirks that we've seen this year in the NBA. These two teams are going to play again on the same court, just not on back-to-back days here. But again, Toronto, I took Toronto with 4 points. What was that final score? 97-93. So that ended up being a push. This one is going to be a little bit lower on that 1.5-2 because you're saying it. Right. Toronto has a little bit more to play for, obviously, than the Boston Celtics. Looking at, not to say the estimated starting lineups tonight, but I am seeing the old questionable report. Derek White, Marcus Smart, Peyton Pritchard, and Malcolm Brogdon all questionable. And we'll see then if they say, okay, well, Jaylen Brown and Tatum, let's either play one of those, both of those, or none of those. Mm-hmm. So many things are left up in the air. And we watched this all season long where the mid-afternoon, oh, we think this guy is going to play. My goodness, until you see that actual starting lineup, it's pretty crazy how you could have a completely different team of what you thought at 1 p.m. in the afternoon.
So, and just looking, right, Tatum and Al Horford are off of the injury report for the game. What's interesting, and now this is stuff that we kind of always, we talk about, we joke about, right, is, you know, season-long averages. Is Jason Tatum okay with playing 20 minutes of basketball, right?
Yeah.
Is that good enough for Jason Tatum? I don't know. I don't know if it is, right? Under normal circumstances, the Celtics at home against Toronto or what? 6.5, 7-point favorites probably, right? So those are the kind of things that we're trying to break down early. It looks like you're getting Tatum. I think you're getting Brown. Some other guys will be missing, but that's where it lines up. We then get to Bucks-Grizzlies. Memphis is a 6.5-point favorite in Milwaukee. Do you think Giannis is playing? I don't. Do you think Drew Holiday's playing? I don't. Memphis has the opportunity with a win to clinch the 2nd seed in the Western Conference here, DRS. And clearly the expectation is that they're going to be able to do that against the backups of the Milwaukee Bucks.
And buyer beware, because we saw the game just a few days ago where Milwaukee is like, Giannis sit this one out. You know, Middleton sit this one out. Doesn't mean that much. It's on a back-to-back. Maybe the Bulls can still do some damage if they want to have hopes of moving up, which they can't at this point now. They won that game going away. To me, the Milwaukee Bucks are the most talented and deepest team in the NBA. It's just a matter of how deep are we going here? Is it Giannis and Middleton and everybody else still gets to play? Does Drew Holiday get the night off? That's the issue. But if you're reading into a line where the Milwaukee Bucks, one of the single best teams in basketball and also at home, getting a touchdown here, that probably tells you there's not going to be very many players, or at least starters, that are going to be available tonight for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Here is the tricky thing about stuff like this as well, and why maybe our breakdown this morning is more who's in and who's out versus what do we like. First of all, we have no props. We can't give you any props, okay, with stuff like this. But also, do you want to know what the sample size, Donnie, for the Milwaukee Bucks is this year? As a home underdog, non-existent, never happened. I can't, you know, because of course the Bucks haven't been home underdogs. Because this is what it takes for the Bucks to be a home underdog, is rest the entire starting five. So it gets very, very tricky. This Memphis game, though, does relate to a game out west late night, Warriors-Kings, which we will preview in hour number two. Maybe the most straightforward game is Heat-Wizards. Tonight in the Eastern Conference, we just talked a lot about Miami. They're a 5.5-point favorite against Washington. It is the second leg of a back-to-back for Miami. Now, they do have something to play for. They need the Nets to lose, though, to the Orlando Magic. And the Nets are a 12-point favorite in that basketball game. You mentioned NFL Week 18. The NFL Week 18 style is you scoreboard watch. Now, a lot of coaches pretend they don't. Everybody knows you are, and guys get pulled at halftime. The NBA, it's not as easy, though, because you can't, in the middle of the third quarter, if you're Miami, see the Nets up 20 at the break on the Magic and then bench your guys. That's just not how the NBA works. So you really should be getting a full blow here from the Miami Heat.
You should be. And then you take a look at the Wizards tonight. Kuzma out, Beal out, Morris out, Porzingis out. You have a team that's legitimately tanking versus a team that does have something to play for. So even if you're saying to yourself, you're scoreboard watching and you bench your starters, you're not even playing any starters against the Washington Wizards. I'm like, hey, well, now that Kuzma, Beal, and Porzingis can go off against the second line of the Miami Heat. That's not the case. They've already checked out for the season. So if we're looking from an honest betting angle, if some of those starters do play, the Heat are going to be better anyway, regardless of who plays into the second half for the Miami Heat, if they do bench their starters.
Now, the thing is, Miami has struggled this season without rest against the number. So could it be a spot where they win but not cover? Certainly. Jimmy Butler this season has a 7-game sample size of basketball without rest. He's averaging almost 26 points per game in that spot, which is probably better than you would expect. But that does mean that if you're going to get Jimmy tonight, his prop certainly could be activated, or at minimum, you're not fading Jimmy Butler. You're not going under on Jimmy. Jimmy struggled this year on back-to-backs. That's not been the case at all this season. I guess then to bring up that Nets Magic game, where the Nets are a 12-point favorite. Of all the games we've talked about, this might be the spot I would be most comfortable, mistake or not, saying I'd fade the narrative and I would take 12 points from Orlando, even if they're not going to win the game. I don't know about the Nets being a narrative, we need it, 12-point favorite to the Orlando Magic.
Well, also, the Orlando Magic basically are out of it here, but they're still a young basketball team. They did their full, they just got a full rest out everybody the rest of the way. I don't think that makes sense because, we can't play Paolo Banchero. He might get hurt. I mean, it's still basketball. It's not football, right? So the devastating injury where somehow Banchero won't be ready for next year if he gets injured in this game is probably very slim. That's something you have to watch out for, because if Orlando goes full tilt, even if the Nets need the game, that's a lot of bonus points you're getting there.
Yeah, absolutely so. You could see, again, the absolute madness, though, that is betting in the NBA these final 3 days. We try and give you what we can. I think this is madness, though. There's some jerseys that caught our attention. We'll close out hour number one.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's a Friday. Try to loosen it up. You know, not all that long ago, myself and Donnie went through a uniform change. Rave reviews. People love what we bring to the table. The Nets are, well, like every team in the NBA, they're going to have some new uniforms that they're going to feature next year. And DRS, I wanted your thoughts on these. For those that are on the radio side, they are, how would you describe it? Colorful camouflage? It's an interesting look, no doubt. Donnie, I mean, do you want a Mikal Bridges City Edition next year Nets jersey?
All right, let's get into it a little bit here. So the best jersey I've seen them ever make is the Bed-Stuy Biggie. Like, the fact that you're going to try to, like, outdo that as another alternate uniform is ridiculous. And also, I do blame LeBron James. When he was with the Cleveland Cavaliers, I don't think they wore the same jersey twice through an entire schedule, which was ridiculous. You would turn the game on, you have no idea who the Cleveland Cavaliers are because they were in pink and purple and blue and brown. Oh. But that's besides the point here. But you know what I like about this City Edition uniform here? It just shows, like, Brooklyn, the city, Queens, the city. The Bronx, the city. Oh, like, wow. It's the city edition.
No, that's
all
not,
boroughs combined the are the New York City edition.
New York
there
thing.
You go. Yes,
the
it is.
The city edition is an NBA
the city.
Thing.
No,
that's what they
no,
call
no.
the Bucks
it's
uniforms.
Not. That's your city.
That's
yep,
what
exactly.
They call
the city
Lakers
of Milwaukee.
Uniforms.
Yes. The no, city of Los
stop
Angeles.
Stop the madness.
The
all
city
right,
of New York I mean, City right here. There you go.
This is what happens.
Yep. It's proven.
All right, look,
my point was finally proven to you.
No. No, it wasn't. New York jersey update. Somebody stapled an index card to
That's
a Mets jersey. What's going on here
it's
with this, Hani?
Look, I'm a Phillies fan. I don't know what's going on here, but I do love this here because the Mets fans were in uproar, and it was like a big announcement. Like, hey, guys, check out this awesome patch. And like, no, hold on now. Like, ooh, I can barely see it from here. When you're sitting in L.A., you'd be like, hey, take the binoculars out. You could see this patch all the way in New York City. I don't know what's going on. In the NBA, they actually got it right, Kevin, where you barely even look now at the patch. Mm-hmm. For some reason, the Mets felt like putting an SUV on one of their shoulders.
Well, I mean, you know, you don't support New York Presbyterian. That's another
scene.
Oh, my scene.
Goodness. Yeah, I'm going to go check myself in after this show. Yeah.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.